I'm Alison Smith, and welcome to my Landscaping Your Life podcast, where I help you to get back on track when you don't know what to do. In this series, I'm going to be exploring the language that you use when you're stuck and use it as a hint to find solutions. So when you can't see the wood for the trees, you're going to go out into a wood and see what insight that wood may have that you can then apply to your situation. When I'm stuck in a rut, I'm going to go and stand in a rut. If I'm treading water, yes, you've guessed it. I'm going to go and tread water in the sea and share with you the insight that you can then apply to your current situation. The best way of using metaphor to solve problems is to not try and keep going between the metaphor and the problem. It's not about going, here's my problem. Oh, Alison's just said get a map. How do I apply the map to my situation? It's very much about putting the problem to the back of your mind and then fully diving into the metaphor. So diving into the wood that you can't see the trees for, exploring the wood, noticing the, even walking up some paths, joining with me as we think about cutting some of those trees back or climbing a tree, for instance. You're going to get much more from it the more distance you can have from the problem. It's much easier to then later on think about how to apply all that lovely metaphorical solutions and how to apply it to the real life situation. Today's episode is a little different because Landscaping Your Life podcast is happy birthday. Yay! Happy birthday, little one. So today what I'm going to do is share with you seven highlights. Well, they're my highlights. I could have gone on and on, but I've picked seven. Two of them are poems and five of them are idioms we use when we're stuck and how the nature, the landscape hidden in those idioms can help you find solutions and see things from a different perspective. As ever, really useful to think of a situation that you'd like some insight on before listening, because that's always going to bring the insights alive, but also to make sense of the tools and techniques that I'm inviting you to use. So see how you what you think of the seven highlights that I'm going to share with you. From this is the 33rd episode, so here are the seven highlights from 32 episodes. Two of the highlights have been when I've used and shared poems that I've written. And so the first two highlights are going to be about my What is Normal poem and my Paths and Destinations poem. So what you think, particularly like the exploration of paths and destinations when I was out in nature, walking along a path and noticing what I noticed. What is normal? My normal isn't your normal. Yours isn't mine. It isn't today, never was, and will never be. What was my normal has changed, will change again and again over coming weeks and months. Yours too. Someone's normal may be increased energy and enthusiasm. Another's normal may struggle to get the basics and essentials done. Today's normal may be lots of free time, no time at all. Tomorrow's normal may be creative and inspired, or a mind stuck in Groundhog Day. No right, no wrong, just what is. An emerging, raveling and unraveling of old, not so old, new and yet to be discovered habits. A tightrope of known and unknown, of certain and uncertain. Each of us trying to make sense of the unprecedented and getting a different answer. And yet it's an answer that gives us faith, hope and strength. If I try to pull your rug from under your feet about the certainty of your answer, I apologise, as I hope you will me. My normal isn't your normal. Yours isn't mine. It isn't today, never was and will never be. In this next extract from episode one, you'll hear me share a part of the poem that particularly resonates. And it's particularly pertinent, I think, to what's happening on the 20th of June this year, when I'm going to be sharing another poem called Metamorphosis. So if you'd be really interested in exploring that unraveling of old and not so old and new, ways of being, then have a look in the comments below, follow the link and come and join me. It's 9 o'clock, 7 o'clock UK time, the 20th of June, 22. An emerging, raveling and unraveling of old, not so old, new and yet to be discovered habits. So whilst I think the earlier part of the poem asks us to accept that our normal will be different from other people's, I think at this point we start to consider our own normals. The fact that it's an unravelling and raveling of old, not so old, new and yet to be discovered habits. That habits that we had, you know, even 12 months ago may no longer serve us now. In my book, Can't See the Wood for the Trees, I talk about the fact that what works for a stream doesn't work for the river. That it's like the water has moved on. That streams act differently. What works for a stream, the water in the stream is going to be very different. The energy is going to be different. The speed's going to be different. The sheer volume of water is going to be different than when it's in a river. And that's what I'm inviting us to consider, that we've moved on. The water has moved on. We've moved as part of it. And therefore, habits that worked. It's a bit like dead ends. I've got a poem called Paths and Destinations, which I'll be covering in a separate or a different episode. And it talks there about dead ends. And yet we may find that something that worked a year ago is now a dead end. It's as if the path has now suddenly got boulders, something may have fallen across it, but what worked then doesn't now work. And therefore, to not beat ourselves up when we start feeling as if, oh, well, I should be doing this. There's no shoulds. Talk a lot about, you know, releasing the musts, oughts and shoulds in our lives. This is about the allowing for that raveling and unraveling of those habits, for us to accept that what was normal may not be normal going forward. Paths and Destinations is a poem that I've written about, well, and originally it was about thinking that these were all the different ways that we were using to stop ourselves from getting to our destination. What it's turned out to be is an exploration of why we might not be wanting to get to our destination, and that that's okay. And as with all of the poems that I've written, you may have something different to take from the poem. But let me read it to you first. Paths and Destinations. Some paths are simply a means of getting from where we are to a destination where we want to be. Other paths, movement away from where we are, a decision only needed when we reach that first crossroads. No destination in mind, just one step at a time. Other paths, a means of getting to a better vantage point, to higher ground, to enable the observation of all possible destinations currently unseen. Other paths, testing the ground and its ability to hold us, learning to have faith and trust ourselves again, with destinations still to be imagined. Other paths, undoubtedly dead ends, a reversal needed, yet the lessons learned invaluable for future path taking and destination arriving. Other paths, adventures for the journeyer, decisions to be made later, the destination of no relevance nor import. Other paths, those less travelled, less clear, destinations to be known only when we get there. Other paths that have yet to be laid down, 360 degrees of choice. Paths and destinations as yet unmapped. Other paths, and knowing that we need to take the path, even if we don't know why. Just an excitement of the unknown, calling for our inner wisdom to be revealed. Which path will you take today? Having first shared the poem, Paths and Destinations, in episode 3, in episode 16, I went for a walk to embody the poem and was really surprised at some of the things that I discovered, as you'll hear in this extract from episode 16. The poem starts, Some paths are simply a means of getting from where we are to a destination where we want to be. And as I stand here, I've got a gravelly path in front of me. I've decided to come somewhere that I don't know at all. So just have to hope I don't get lost. But certainly this gravel path has a sense of purpose, direction. I know where I'm going. It's a very well-forged path. And I could just keep walking, I suspect, and get somewhere. I don't actually, in this instance, know where it is, but it's a very defined path. And the poem was written thinking that actually the aim was about all the things that take us off this main path. But I can see that this is quite a monotonous path. There's lots of other people on the path. And therefore, a number of the other paths actually are the paths we find ourselves, not by mistake, which is what I thought when I wrote the poem, but they're where we find ourselves because that's where we need to be. So the poem continues, other paths, movement away from where we are, a decision only needed when we reach the first crossroads. No destination in mind, just one step at a time. And yeah, I know I want to go on a walk, so I know I'm moving away from where the car is situated. And I'm now going along a path where it's a path. There aren't lots of other options. And I think it's interesting, I've used this phrase so much in coaching sessions, it's unbelievable. Because there's an element of, we think we need to know where we're going, and we think, oh my God, I've got to make a decision. It's like, well, once you're on a path, once you've made a commitment to walk along one path, then you might as well explore it till you get to the crossroads. And then you can think about what options you've got. We've rarely got numerous options. You know, I haven't got 360 degrees of choice, really. As I stand here, I could either go back or forward. That's the only choice. So I'm going to walk now until I get to a T-junction, a crossroads, and then I'll see what happens when I get there in terms of, does the poem help me explore what comes next, or is it about what it feels like when I have to make a decision as to, do I go left, do I go right, do I go straight on, do I turn round? So I will, explore, because this is a completely new wood that I have no awareness or knowledge of. I've not been walking long since I last spoke to you, and I'm feeling that this path feels like it's a long path. I'm getting, I don't know if agitated is the right word, but impatient for making a decision. It's like, why am I still on this path? And yet I haven't come to any other options unless I want to go through the undergrowth and get caught up in some brambles and blackberries. Then I haven't had a choice. I do think that that's sometimes when or why we don't make progress in our life, that we fail to see the progress we're making because it's just the same path. We aren't having to make decisions. We're just having to do that one step at a time in front of us. And so we start to get agitated and either head off into the undergrowth or even turn round, because at least turning round is a known path. We can go back and go, oh, that was the wrong decision, that was taking too long. So there is something quite powerful about committing to a path. In the book I mention, you don't walk half a path, you have to walk a whole path. And yes, perhaps sometimes we try to make a path for too long and then we do get bored and go, oh, this might be wrong or whatever. But quite often, if we commit to the path in front of us, we'll get somewhere where we can make much more informed decisions than if we, start doubting ourselves. The remaining five highlights from the podcast are all to do with idioms we use when we're stuck. And we're going to start with can't see the wood for the trees. And we're going to finish with putting the stick down that we beat ourselves up with. Really encourage you to think of a situation that you resonate with as you listen to what I'm talking about. It'll certainly make a lot more sense and help you see that situation from a different perspective. If you were in a real wood, you'd follow people. You know, you might ask for help. I remember being in a wood with the six suited and booted executives wandering around a wood. And we were obviously looking lost because we couldn't see the wood for the trees. And a forestry commission warden came up with a map and says, "Oh, you're looking lost. Do you need a map?" And a few people went, "Oh yeah, that's my solution. I do need a map." So what else would you do if you were in a wood? You might follow a path out. Yeah, you might get a map out. You might climb a tree. You might go to a higher vantage point to be able to see the wood. You may just sit down with a wood and take a bit of time to calm down, to get a lay of the land, to watch what's happening in this wood to get a better sense. If you had the time, you might wait for winter. Allowed seasons to sort of shift. You might cut some of the branches back. I always laugh about one solution is the fact that I think I can sometimes be accused of planting more trees. Even at situations when I can't see the wood for the trees, I'm there planting even more trees. So firstly, let's stop planting new trees, shall we? It might be about getting a compass. It might be about just getting out of, you know, following a path out. I remember being in Derwent Water in the Lake District and doing a video blog and realizing, you know what, in order to see the trees, I just need to get out of them first. So follow a path, let's just get out. And once I've got out of the wood, then I can look back, I can assess where I'm at. I also remember somebody else when they couldn't see the wood for the trees. And it was actually on a video call. So they were the other side of the world in America, and they were wandering around and they couldn't see the wood for the trees. And I sort of says, "Well, look up. You know, where are you trying to get to?" "Well, I just want to get there." And they realized that they'd been distracted by the wood, and that actually they knew their destination and they just needed to stick on one path and just get there. So not be distracted by the wood. Having written a book called Can't See the Wood for the Trees and having explored the metaphor with many coaching client or workshop group about Can't See the Wood for the Trees, such a great example. I've got lots of ideas in my head about what normally works if you can't see the wood for the trees. And yet the whole theme of the podcasts in this series, or the episodes in this series, are about noticing what I notice in this wood today, now. And I found myself saying to somebody the other week that it never fails to amaze me how somebody who can't see the wood for the trees finds new insight from being out in nature that I've never heard before. That even in 20 years of doing it with people, in the 3 years since my book, in the podcasts, everybody comes out of the situation with their own problem that they can't see the wood for the trees, and therefore the patterns are different for them, and therefore they notice different patterns. Today, and therefore it's with what's ever going on in my life at this moment in time, I'm drawn to the fact that I'm trying to see if you look that way. So for the podcast, then it just looks like there's trees that go on and on and on, and I, you know, but actually there's an element of, if I look that way, it's really easy to get lost and confused, and, well, I don't know, what tree do I focus on? That tree, do I focus on that tree, which tree do I focus on, how big is it, will I get lost if I go in that direction, will I get more lost if I go in that direction? So there is something about, yeah, I suppose not blundering on, really, that it'd be really easy for me to buy into this lostness and then just keep focusing on lost, rather than, it reminds me of the stuck between a rock and a hard place, that as I sat there
at the top of a cliff, that the longer I sat there and the more in the moment I became, I stopped focusing on all the, you know, as I think I described it as 355 degrees of stuckness, and I noticed the however many, 5 degrees, 4 degrees, however many, but I managed to notice the areas that would be unstuck, the roots out. And I think that's the same as I stand here, imagining needing to see the wood for the trees. That rather than walk on, rather than continue to potentially get lost or to go in a direction I don't want to go, what happens if I just stand here? If I tune in? And again, there's something really quite powerful. Oh, yes, I've just really quite powerful. So it's one of those things where it's so easily said, look at it from all perspectives. And yet, as I stand here, and I'll encourage clients and people to do that often, but as I stand here now, I can feel the sense of it'd be really easy to go, no, I've just looked around. But now, hang on a minute, stop. I now want to notice every one of the 360 degrees, because they're the number of options. It's not the options I have, because the options, if I follow a path, are going forward or going backwards or turning around and going the other way. But in terms of where might I get an answer, where might the solution lie, where may the different insight lie, then I need to look at, visually observe every one of the 1 degrees.
The next idiom that we're looking at is being at a crossroads. Think about what would we do in nature, and just listen to what happened when I did just that and stand in nature at a crossroads. Just notice what I noticed and the different perspectives I got about the situation from episode 27.
I may on my travels find such a crossroads, but the other thing to say about crossroads is whilst the crossroads I'm at the moment doesn't have signposts, invariably most crossroads in nature have signposts. There's signals, there's, you know, we can stop at it, we may even have a roundabout where it gives us the opportunity to go round in a circle a little bit first before we make a choice. And again, there's something about the preciseness of language that if it feels like you're at that crossroads and you're just going round and round in circles going, do I go off at that junction? Do I go off at that junction? Or do I go off at that junction? Then why not have a look at going round in circles options shared in previous episodes of the podcast about what to do when you're going round in circles. So look for the signposts. Stop going round in circles. Be clear about your destination and the things that are coming to mind currently in this wood with respect to that crossroads.
In episode 32, I looked at the idiom, so it's like talking to a brick wall. And this one is one that keeps on, the gift of that keeps on giving, really. That everywhere I go, I'm constantly finding new insight. And I particularly love the extract that I share from you, taken on St. Andrew's Beach, where there wasn't a brick wall in sight.
I was further up, was looking at the brick wall that was holding the bank to stop the bank collapsing onto the stream. And looking at it and going, well, actually, if we're talking to that brick wall, there's that brick wall's going nowhere, and to give up. But my sense is as I've walked down, then there is no brick wall. It doesn't require it. So in what way are we trying, the position of the wall that we're trying to talk to, that our timing, our position, the context in which we're trying to have the conversation is the problem. It's like, actually, up there, that wall, the only thing the wall can do is to do its job, is to hold fast. It's not going anywhere. Whereas actually as you go down here, then there isn't as big a wall, the stream is more meandering-y and doesn't require the bank to be held up, or the bank is doing its own holding up. So I wonder, how is that relevant to the situation where you feel like you're talking to a brick wall? How might it be about, yeah, changing the context, changing the conversation, changing the timing of it? And bizarrely, I've come to that insight when we've got a brick wall above me and it's a bridge. And that comes back to something I was talking about earlier. Although I have no idea what order all this is going to appear in, so it could have been what you're going to hear later about the fact that bridges and walls, if it feels like you're talking to a brick wall, then perhaps it's a brick wall of a bridge that you're building between you and the other person. And at that instance, I also had light at the end of it as the sun came through and shone at the end of the bridge. So how cool is that? Anyway, leave you later. Bye. As I sit here in the middle of St. Andrew's Beach and look towards the cliffs that are sort of on the edge of where the town centre is, I realise we don't say that it's like talking to a cliff, do we? We say it's like talking to a brick wall. So there is an element of an assumption that somebody has built the wall, and therefore somebody can demolish the wall. Those cliffs is only really going to be C that does anything about demolishing those cliffs. It's not something we can do. So the very fact that we're not saying it's like talking to a cliff, the very essence of the saying is that we are saying that we've built the wall, or somebody's built the wall, and therefore there's some demolishing that one can do to said wall in order to be able to talk to the person on the other side, or to get to the other side of it, or whatever your intention is with respect to that wall. Such a great reminder that every landscape can give us insight, even if there isn't even a tree or a wood here. What can I get about, can't see the wood for the trees from this landscape? What can I say about putting my head above the parapet when I'm sitting in this beach? What can I say about between a rock and a hard place? There's always something that we can get from the landscape that we're in, even if that landscape isn't currently expressing or demonstrating the saying that we're feeling.
This next idiom is about turning a corner in your life. It's from episode 3. And well, I'll let the extract tell you all you need to know. We use turning a corner, don't we, to say I need to turn a corner in life. It's as if I need to leave behind what I'm doing currently so that I can't see it. And what I'm going to invite you to do is to go and find a corner. And I've done a video blog of turning a corner, doing exactly what I'm going to invite you to do. So I'll put a link to that as well. But I can't express enough how easy this is, how simple it is, and yet how effective it is. Because all I'm saying to you is go and find a corner. To put to the back of your mind a situation you want to turn a corner about, and to just notice what you notice as you're heading towards the corner, as you're turning the corner, and then once you've turned the corner. And it's impossible for me to describe on this podcast what happens. All I can say is go and do it. If there's something that you, a situation that you want to turn a corner about, and perhaps you've tried other more conventional means, then what have you got to lose by just literally going out into nature, finding a corner, preferably one in nature, I would say. So the one I'm envisaging is on, goes around a particular bay, but somewhere, you know, a corner in a wood, corner in nature, may be preferable, but I'm not saying it's impossible to do it if you're in a town. But go and find a park, go and find a wood, find some a beach and just turn a corner and just apply whatever insight you get to the situation that you'd like to turn a corner about. And I'll leave that there. I'm finding it really hard not to say, oh my God, this is my favourite episode. But I think putting the stick down that you're beating yourself up with is perhaps my favourite. Not so much the favourite episode as much as the favourite technique. In that a lot of people find it useful, it's something a lot of us do, and it's really helpful means of having a very different conversation about why we pick up the sticks and putting them back down again. Have a listen to this extract from episode 29.
There's something about if we feel like we're beating ourselves up with a stick, then I've actually done a video blog before about finding sticks, just bending down to pick some sticks up, to get some sticks that reflect the many ways that you're beating yourself up with and sort of throwing them away or putting them down. But I did realise as I was doing the prep for this element of the podcast is that actually I have to pick up the sticks before I put them down, and so therefore stop bloody picking the sticks up just beforehand.
Oh, I'm laughing. I'm here. I literally was leaving the car park and then looked around and thought, there are no sticks up here. And of course, I'm at the top of a hill and there are no sticks because, of course, sticks come from trees. So there's an element of that we can't beat ourselves up if we're at the top of a, if we're at a vantage point. We can only beat ourselves up if we're storing our sticks and keeping them on our person somewhere and we've got a little store that we can pull out. But otherwise, we have to be in a wood in order to pick up a stick to beat ourselves with. So avoid the woods. Come up to the vantage points up here, the high vantage points, and then you won't actually beat yourself up.
I hope you have enjoyed me sharing the 7 highlights from the last 12 months of podcasts. Really invite you to follow, tell your friends, leave me a review. And certainly come back next week. We're going to be covering having missed the tide next week, understanding metaphorically, getting insight from being out there. In fact, there's even a sunken boat that we're going to get insight from about missing the tide. So I hope you join me. Have a brilliant week before then. If you've enjoyed this episode of Landscaping Your Life, then do follow my podcast and also have a look in comments below for other ways of keeping in touch with us.